Listen, these kids are inundated with stuff that we never thought. We never thought would happen. I'll tell you, you know. So some of you may know that I kind of have a different mandate now with Potter's Hands here. The afternoons are taken up. I go out and I try to solicit some funding. And the odd time, I ended up at the Catholic school over there by Huntington Hills. What's the name of that school? Notre Dame. I ended up over there. I've got CDs from, hallelujah. From where? Crossroads. Crossroads. Thanks, Ray. From Crossroads. And so it's a three-part CD, but it's geared generation at risk. The generation at risk right now. And so I went over to the school there. I felt led in. Oh, man, these guys are going to just throw me out the door. So I, you know, went, had a couple turnarounds. She wasn't there. And so I finally made it there. I think it was Tuesday. And so I talked to her, and there's a lot of, well, she's busy. She's got a meeting and all this stuff and just trying to get rid of me, eh? So, no, I got to stay here. So anyway, she comes out to finally have a meeting with her, the principal of the Notre Dame school. So I give her this pack of CDs, and I says, introduced who I was. And so I says, if you guys would like to watch it, I'd like for you to critique it and give these kids here something to work with. Amen. And so she was very appreciative of that and thanked me for bringing it and stuff, which I was like, oh, wow, praise God. You know, God has gone before me. And I know Graham has prayed about it, and we have been praying about it. But so they've got these CDs now, or DVDs. And so just pray throughout the day that she would watch them and that they would be able to bring them into the school. Like, it's not front and center, you know, Jesus Christ this. And, no. It comes at, it's very, very nice, a very subtle way of presenting the gospel. So let's pray and believe that God will use those CDs to touch a whole school. And I found another one. I guess I ordered two of these things, so I got two of them. So now I'm thinking, well, praise God, what other school can I hit? Amen? So let's pray. You know, sometimes with prayer, you got to put some action. Amen? And it's good to pray and stuff, and we do. But sometimes you got to step out of the boat, as the men have been listening to on Thursday nights. You gotta, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Amen? So, amen? So, we got to do that. So, Pastor Paulin, come on up. I'm going to pray with our brother here. He's going to bring forth the word of God to us this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good to us. So full of mercy, so full of grace, Lord God. You keep us alive all these years, Lord God, just to hear your word. So this morning, Lord God, as our brother preaches the word, God, that you'll open up our hearts to hear from you this morning. Just speak to us, Lord God, through our brother, Lord God. Just anoint him for that. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bless you.
Everybody is doing good today. We praise God for the wonderful weather. And symbolically, we pray also that in the days ahead, the weather in your spiritual life will be even brighter. I'm bringing you good news this morning, not bad news. Everywhere you turn nowadays, it's always bad news. Political turmoil, economic deterioration, political unrest, sickness, calamities, famine everywhere. If you listen to the news, hardly ever you find comfort in your spirit. But I thank God for the fact that you are here in the house of the Lord this morning. Because you know, only if you are close to Him, you have peace and comfort in your soul. In fact, along that line, that is the prayer of David. He said in his prayer, I want to live during my lifetime that I live or stay in your house that I may witness your goodness for all of my life. So as I said, I'll bring you good news about the fact that Christ's death on the cross brings victory to believers. Normally, a message like this is preached during Easter, but as for me, I think it is relevant every day of our life. And I hope and I pray that every day we live in the realm of that victory, the victory that Jesus is powerful, Jesus is alive, and Satan, our enemy, has been defeated. And Jesus did that not for him, but for me and for you. Remember that. He didn't have to die on the cross for him, but he died on the cross for me. He didn't have to be buried for himself, but he was buried and resurrected for the purpose that you and I might experience the victory over Satan. Because Jesus did a very wonderful thing on the cross. I come to understand clearly that the only one thing that Paul the Apostle gloried on, not on his education, not on his breeding, not on his background, not on his ability, but only on one thing. He said this, I gloried only in the cross of Christ. Many people glory over their wealth, fame, success. But we as believers, let's echo the same thing, that we too might glory on the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that on the cross, our enemy, Satan, was annihilated and defeated. He suffered that defeat by the cross of Jesus and by Jesus' resurrection. And the good thing is, Satan cannot reverse that defeat. Nowadays, many things can be reversed, but that truth cannot be reversed. So let's live every day in that revelation and in that truth of the victory of Jesus over Satan, over sin, over suffering, over curse, over death. Our enemy Satan was hit in four main ways. I'll mention four briefly this morning. First, he was defeated. The enemy was defeated. Satan was defeated. Two, Satan was dethroned. Before the resurrection, Satan, our enemy, was sitting on the throne of the kingdom of this world. And three, Satan was disarmed. And fourthly, Satan was destroyed. In Colossians 2, verse 15, Bible says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show. He means Jesus made a show or made a display of them openly. Them means those enemies, those principalities, those powers from the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus openly made a display over them and triumphing over them. And it is not just a small display. The Bible says he, Jesus, made a bold display and a public example and triumphing over them. Well, the writer of this verse was Paul the Apostle, a Roman citizen, and he understood very much about the culture on that day. That's why he made this with reference to a Roman military victory procession. Picture in your mind, if you will, please, a Roman general who defeated an army or an enemy army. It meant a great thing because another city or another territory or another nation would be added to the empire. And when that general returned home to Rome, he was awarded with a triumph procession. They would place this general on a chariot and drive him throughout the streets of the city in Rome. The people would gather on both sides of the road to do what? To applaud and to celebrate the general, the conqueror. And to demonstrate the greatness of the general's victory, all those whom he had captured were paraded before the crowds. All those enemies that have been captured. Often, all those enemies that have been captured, they were put in chains. So these prisoners, among others, were generals, officers, soldiers, etc., etc. They were chained to the chariot of this conqueror. You remember in year 70 Anno Domini or 70 AD, a Roman general by the name of Titus destroyed Jerusalem, and he had all the Jews that he had captured chained to his chariot. I'm giving you this picture so that we may understand, because I'll be talking about Christ, our general, who has won our battles, who has defeated our enemy. That will be my point. That's why I'm giving you this description. And in addition to that victory procession, the spoils of war, such as gold or silver, and even some animals, were also paraded. And when the celebration ended, what will happen? Normally, these people, these prisoners that were captured, their fate will be execution. They will be executed, or they will be sold as slaves. This is what it means, the public exhibition of the enemy's defeat and of the territory which was conquered. Now, this is my point. By Jesus' death on the cross and by his resurrection, Jesus took Satan captive, including Satan's principalities and his stronghold, and he put them on public display. That's the good news for us. And the enemy thought, Satan thought, that he had finally killed Jesus. He was wrong. Jesus gave up his own life for God's purpose, but in the mind of the enemy, oh, I am successful to kill Jesus. He was wrong. And even Satan thought that the sins of humanity that was put on Jesus would hold Jesus in hell forever. Again, the enemy is wrong. But Jesus victoriously took back the keys of death and hell. And he abolished the power and authority of the enemy. Again, this is the thing that Satan was really stupid. He thought that there was nothing worse that could ever happen to him. But you know what? Suddenly, the Father in heaven raised his son, Jesus, from the dead. Christ's resurrection or Christ's reappearance among the living glorified with all the authority and power of the mighty God, triumphant before his followers, constituted a public humiliation, and that is the exhibition of Satan's defeat. Picture that in your mind, please. And that's why, after the resurrection, Jesus' disciples, they used to be very timid, they used to be very, very afraid. Now, they were no longer afraid of the enemy because they knew their Lord is alive and powerful. And Jesus ascended up to heaven to the Father. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower them. To empower believers, to empower you and me. And that's why they dedicated these disciples, dedicated their lives to enforce Satan's defeat by making Satan submit to God by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the gospel, and by the power of the resurrection. Amen. These enemies or these evil spirits used to have territories in the lives of many people. But now, by the preaching of Jesus, by the preaching of the gospel, these enemies were no longer able to hold the territories. They have to give it. They have to give them to the kingdom of God. I said earlier, this is the main preaching done by Paul the Apostle. He said, I glory in the cross of Jesus. Because he knew that the defeat suffered by the enemy is permanent, that is eternal, and that is irrevocable, that is irreversible. Imagine again, if you will, that Jesus was standing in the chariot. We call that victorious chariot. This chariot, imagine again that it is being driven along the road. With all the enemies he has defeated, that Jesus has defeated. What did Jesus has defeated? He has defeated sin, he has defeated death, suffering, curse, sickness, infirmities, depression, and many other enemies of the humankind. They are all chained behind him. And picture this in your mind, all the citizens of the kingdom of God applauding from both sides of the road. And if I ask you a question this morning, this is a bold question. Where would you be standing? Where would you be standing during that procession? Would you be among those applauding and cheering Jesus, the conqueror? Or would you be among those captured and chained behind the chariot? You don't have to give the answer to me this morning. Can give the answer in your own heart. And if you are not standing, giving, applauding, and cheering to Jesus, today is the day that you can change your place by accepting Jesus into your life, receiving his power, receiving his forgiveness, and he will change your place from the back of that chariot to the two sides of the road, and you will be the one giving, cheering, and applause to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 6, those whom Christ has redeemed are seated in heavenly places with him. By faith, you and I, and everybody who has received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, they are in that chariot with Jesus Christ. And that is your place. Remember that, my dear brothers and sisters. Your place is on the chariot of the conqueror. You as believers, we as believers in this city, at this point of time, let's rise up and take our position in the kingdom government that he has given to each one of us. And let us start releasing the power of God and the authority that he has given to us over the enemy. And this is, I believe, another way of spreading the aroma of the knowledge of Christ as stated in the 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Pastor Stan preached about this some weeks ago. Start living in the victory that Jesus has won for you. Defeat every work of the enemy. Wherever you encounter it, the authority is yours. Raise your head high. Stand tall like a true child of God. Jesus has overpowered your enemy. And Jesus nowadays, through the Holy Spirit, is releasing the fragrance or the aroma of his victory. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 16, again, Pastor Stan, I think it was last year, he demonstrated this verse. Romans 16, verse 20. Because that verse says that they defeated Satan, his place is under your feet. Crushed under your feet. That's the first one. The enemy is defeated. Your enemy is defeated. Rise up. Use your authority in Jesus' name. Secondly, Satan was dethroned. Now let's hear what Luke chapter 11, verse 21 until 22 says. I don't know if we can have it on the screen, but if we cannot, let me just read this. Luke 11, verses 21 and 22. This truth is very important for us to understand. Luke 11, verse 21 and 22. When a strong... Let's read those verses together. Thank you. 2, 3. When a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. I hope you understand those verses. This is a parable given by Jesus after he was accused by some religious leaders of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Beelzebub is a term or another name for Satan. In those verses, there are two men mentioned. The strong man, that's the first man, and that refers to Satan. Remember, Satan is also strong. He has power. But he is not all powerful. And the second man, thank God, in that verse it says, a stronger man. That represents Jesus Christ, the conqueror. Satan was the ruler of the kingdom of the earth. And he thought he was safe in his palace, right? Then Jesus defeated him, removing him from the throne. And his rulership was taken off from him. The power and the authority that Satan used to have was taken also from him. Yes, the strong man had trusted in his ability to strike at God by defeating Jesus, by killing Jesus, by putting Jesus on the cross. But remember, the Satan, the strong man, was overtaken by the stronger man when Jesus was victorious over the enemy. He divided the spoils of his triumph with you and with me. And he gave the dominion of the earth back to us, to believers. Do not continue to entertain in your mind that this world is still fully in the hands of the enemy. Yes, Satan has been dethroned. And number three, Satan was disarmed. Let me read Colossians 2 and verse 15. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us. Do you ever think what is nailed to the cross? What are those? Yes, our sins were nailed to the cross. But remember also, every weapon that the devil uses to torment people, this weapon also is nailed to the cross of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, the enemy was described as the accuser of our brethren. It's in Revelation chapter 12. One of his main strategies is to fire darts, what kind of darts? Darts of guilt at believers, at you, and at me. Through what? Through false accusation. And lots of people nowadays guilt over past mistakes. And many of them ended up going to the hospital. The doctors do not fully understand. They give the best medication, but it is not a physical thing. It is something deeper. It is a spiritual thing. Because these people suffer from one thing, which is called guilt. Where does it come from? From the enemy. This is one of the darts put on people by the enemy. Guilt. This should not be. And even some Christians, even after they have received Jesus, they have repented of their sins, they have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, some of them still experience guilt. This should not be. This is the weapon on which Satan can rely nowadays. As long as he can make us feel guilty about something that we did in the past, after we have confessed our sin and repented of our sin and given our life totally to Jesus and have a new life, as long as the enemy is still able to put the guilty feeling in our heart, we will never be a skillful spiritual opponent to the kingdom of darkness. We will never be able to confront the enemy if we still have that guilt in our heart. But today is the day, and you can come to Jesus and say, Lord, fill my heart with the boldness from heaven, with the power of the blood, power of the Holy Spirit, that I have been made free, I have been set free, I don't have to feel guilty by the enemy, I am free, free, free indeed, by the power of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has made you free. And whoever is made free by the Son, he is free indeed. Yes, our enemy, Satan, has been disarmed by Jesus on the cross. All the enemy's weapons have been taken from him by Jesus. So no need to feel guilty over something that you have done before, as long as you have lived a new life for Christ. You don't need to feel guilty over something that you failed to do. As long as you have got Jesus and his forgiveness in your life, and you have totally committed, and you have totally given your life into his hands. So by faith, my brothers and sisters, receive that victory that Jesus has won for you. Of course, to do this, you must assume the responsibility for your own sin, for your own actions. And then, secondly, you have got to repent. And then you confess your sin to God. The Bible says in 1 John 1, verses 9 and 10, the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse you If you confess your sin, He'll forgive you. That's what the Bible says, as long as you don't continue to live in your sin. By the way, can we put those two verses again on the screen? 1 John 1. 1 John 1, verses 9 and 10. Says above, if we confess our sin, He is faithful, He is just, He'll give you forgiveness. But some people do not want to admit their sin. We have got to admit our sin in order for us to be able to receive forgiveness from the Lord. So let's read them. 1, 2, 3. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. So let's remember again, when you belong to God's kingdom, you have spiritual weapons to disarm your enemy. Let me mention some of these weapons, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to be trained how to use the weapons. Amen. Even though the weapons are mighty and powerful, but if you don't get trained how to use them, they are good for nothing. We have got to be trained how to use the weapons in our spiritual warfare. Amen. Some of those weapons are the Word of God. And then the supernatural power of God, the Holy Spirit. And then, as Pastor Alvin said earlier here, prayer, that's another weapon. Fasting comes next. Praise, as you have done here. Worship, and then our testimony. And then the blood of Jesus. And more pieces of this are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. All those weapons in chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, verses 14, 15, 16, 17, mentions there about all the weaponry that you can use to defeat the enemy. So every time the enemy comes to tempt and accuse and persecute you, use the weapons God has given you and kick the enemy out from making inroads into your mind and into your heart. Kick him! Only if you do so, you will be more than conquerors. Romans 8, 37 says, you are made to be more, not just winning, but more than conquerors. Yeah. Lastly, Satan was destroyed. Let me read Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Part B. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, If you know that verse, if I ask you the question, what is the purpose of Jesus coming into this earth? You'll be able to answer, according to that verse, that Jesus came to earth to destroy all the plans and the works of the devil. As you have known, by Jesus' death on the cross and by his resurrection, Jesus broke the power of sickness, the power of sin, the power of demons, even the power of poverty, the power of death over your life. And as a living church, as believers, you and I have the authority to enforce Christ's victory. Do you want to have that desire to enforce Christ's victory in your life so that you can keep destroying the devil and the works of the enemy? So that you can deliver people through supernatural power of God? I'll close in 5 minutes by saying to you, maybe you have a question up to this point. Wait a minute. Hasn't Jesus on the cross solved all of these problems when he was hanging on the cross? Many Christians are baffled, are confused by the fact that the devil still continues to attack believers. I'm sure some of you keep asking that question. Do you want to know why? Can I see your hands? Thank you. You're honest. Yes, many Christians know that they have been translated, they have been transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They know that they are seated in the heavenly places in God's kingdom, where he gives us the privilege of ruling together with him, as stated in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. But we, you and I, need to know this. Until Satan's final defeat at the end of the age, he still has the legal right given by God to fight against us using 3 methods. What are they? By temptation. Secondly, by persecution. And thirdly, by accusations. Temptation is the first level of attack based on a lie. All temptation is based on deceit and a lie, based on untruth or half-truth. All temptations generate a wrong desire. If you desire something wrong, then the temptation to act on it will strengthen that desire. You see what I mean? If you don't have a wrong desire for something bad, the temptation will not have power over you. No, no power at all. Powerless. But remember, repeated temptation can increase or deepen your desire for something wrong. It sounds like psychology, right? No, this is not psychology. This is the Word of God. The enemy's first plan is to wear you out by giving you repeated temptation until you succumb. But please don't succumb. Greater is the power of God in you. And second, let me mention this. Persecution. This is the second level. After temptation, if it doesn't work, persecution will come. That's the second tier attack, as we say. Satan will incite, Satan will use, Satan will prompt other people to oppress believers for the purpose of stopping them to preach the gospel and from demonstrating the kingdom of God among men. Jesus experienced that persecution from religious leaders of his day. They hated him so much to the point that he was eventually betrayed, captured, and killed, and then died on the cross. So what can you learn from that, my dear brothers and sisters? The enemy will attack you. The enemy will attack me if I dare to carry out God's will. But again, I say, based on the authority of God's word, the power of God in you is much greater. Amen. Lastly, is the accusation. This is the highest form of attack. I mentioned earlier, I quoted from Revelation chapter 12, that the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, where? To this earth. So he's working here. But remember, verse 11 says, and they means church, they means believers, and they overcome him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I believe personally, as we get closer to the end, we live now in end times, as we get closer to the end, the devil will use this role as accuser even more. He will use it within the family, within the church, within the community. He'll use that role even more as accuser. My dear brothers and sisters, this message is not just to fill our head as a head knowledge, but I pray you will have this truth so that you know the strategy of the enemies, that you have the keys, you have the power, you have the authority. Please do not be ignorant. Ignorance does not bring bliss. But knowledge of the truth will bring freedom and life. Can I pray for you for a second before I give this over to Pastor Alvin? Let's all stand up, please. Father God, I have preached your word to the best of my ability in a very limited way. You have shown us the way, the truth, and the life. We are your children. We are your body. You have entrusted these keys to your people. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we will rise up to use these keys so that we might become a triumphant church of Jesus Christ to defeat the enemies of our faith for the glory of our King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. A lot of times why we live in defeat is because of ignorance. We live in defeat. Amen? And another thing is prayer. We need to pray. We need to come together and pray. We're battling a spiritual, we're in a spiritual war. Are we not? They're spirits, demonic spirits, and their whole purpose in life is to curtail us, to keep us down and squashed, and not able to rise to the full sonship that each and every one of us has. Amen? Through Jesus Christ. So he does anything in his power. If you give him any open door, he comes in, and be sure of this, you're going to live in defeat. You'll try and rise up, and there won't be that confidence. There won't be that faith in you. But I tell you, when you confess your sins, amen, live a pure life, holy life, man, you can walk in victory. Amen? The Word of God says that sin shall not have dominion over you. That's right, right? If that's true, then why is it? If sin is having dominion over you, why is it? Because we live in ignorance, amen, or deception. And so Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid it all for us. But if we're living in defeat, there's a reason why. We're living in ignorance, amen. Another thing, we don't do the things that we ought to do a lot of times. We don't pray. We have a prayer service here this Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. We pray for 1 hour, just 1 hour. And we pray. Pray for the congregation, we pray for the city, we pray for Potter Sands Ministry. We have another prayer service on Thursday night. Come and pray. I'll tell you, Satan has been defeated, but the greatest enemy of the Christian life is self-love. Self-love. I love me. And I don't need to do those things. Jesus brings us to a place where we must die to the self-love. We've got to die to that filthy thing. It has stopped me. It has curtailed you. Stopped all of us. But when we come to the cross and say, God, I give you the rest of my life, whatever life I have left in me, then I believe you're going to experience some victory that you never thought possible. I lived in ignorance. Listen, I lived in ignorance for 40 years. 40 years I was a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking man. And I lived in ignorance. I lived in shame and shyness like you would not believe. For me to stand up here would be the worst of the worst. I'd rather die. But I tell you, the Spirit of God came, gave me revelation, understanding, something that had happened way back in my childhood, had allowed that Spirit to come in. And kept me bound for years, 40 years for Pete's sake. 40 years at 47. And God set me free from that filthy thing. Amen? And so some of us here are walking in some things, mindsets, things that have happened to you way back and have made you into the person that you are today. God wants to set you free from that. Amen? God wants to set you free. God does not want you to walk in defeat. He doesn't. That is not his plan. He wants you to walk in victory. Amen? And so, I'm just going to pray. But if some of you want some prayer, Chad, my brother Chad and his wife Robin are going to come up. And we're going to pray. If some of you are living in defeat, I believe. You know, a lot of us are living in defeat. And Jesus Christ, his victory. Either it's a small victory or it's an awesome victory. right? It's how you choose to use that victory. Amen? So just Chad, come on up. So if, and then I'll dismiss you. But if you need prayer, and there's some things in your life, and some, maybe there's some jealousies. You got hatred. You got murder. You got unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. I tell you, you live in unforgiveness, I tell you, you'll live in defeat. Amen? God wants to set you free from that stuff. God does not want you to carry it. Amen? So today can be your day. Amen? So Lord God, I just pray, dismiss my brothers, my sisters as they travel back home. Protect them. Lord God, protect them from any accidents or anything like that in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord God, let this week be a glorious week for them. Lord God, let them walk in a victory that they never thought possible by the power of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Overshadow each one of us right now in Jesus' mighty name. Bring us into the victory, Lord God, the victory of the cross, Lord God, that you paid the price for, Lord God, for each one of us, Lord God. Hallelujah. We decree that, we declare that over this congregation right now. Let the peace of God, which passes understanding, just be over them, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.